the message makes any sense. I wrote it when I was under and dizzy and sick, but Hebrews 11. I know it's biblical, so that's all that matters. So, Hebrews 11. Actually, rewrite it on Saturday. I've been working on it all week, so that's a good sign. So, have a good crowd today. Adding extra chairs on both sides, and that's a good thing. And hopefully we can knock out that wall there and have to be all the way full. Use the whole room. That would be a good thing. So just keep praying for God to bless. We're growing in the adult crowd pretty good. The kids, we're doing fair, but we're doing great in the adult crowd. So appreciate your faithfulness. Hebrews 11, I'm going to start at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I never noticed before, I don't know why, but verse 4, the end of the verse there, because he had faith and pleased God, when he died, his voice spoke. And it says by that's part of the by faith. If I'm seeing that right, he says that's part of what he did by faith. And when you're dead, you're still living, and your voice is still speaking. And his God called him for a witness, and I think that's powerful. When you serve God, even when you're gone, your impact is still there. And God is still hearing. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Today I'm going to talk about faith, the substance. Faith, the substance. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us now and speak to us. I pray that we'd hear from you. I pray the Spirit of God would fall fresh in this room, and I pray that the Word of God would go forth clear. Lord, no matter what the background, no matter what the language, no matter what the situation in life or where they are or what's the distraction, Lord, I pray that every voice, every ear would hear the voice of God, and I pray that you'd speak through your Word powerfully. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Substance, it says, faith is a substance of things hoped for. In the first verse there, the word substance is hypostasis in the Greek, which means a settling under, a support, or the concrete essence. It's underneath something, there is a support. Underneath this building is something. It's not floating in air. It's got some substance underneath of it. And faith is the substance, the solid, real, tangible, something you can feel, substance of things that are hoped for, things you're hoping they'll happen, things you're looking forward to happening someday, heaven and God's blessing and God answering prayers. Faith is a substance underneath of what you have. It's the tangible thing that we have, and it's the evidence of things you have not seen. And no wonder James says, show me thy faith without thy works, I'll show thee my faith by my works. Faith is what is... it's something solid that gives you an action. We might say, I believe this, I just can't do this, but faith says, if you believe it, you do it. Bible says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. A man says he has faith but has not works, the Bible says you can't do that because faith is a substance. If you believe, then you have a substance that backs it up. You do something that backs that up. And when the Bible associates works with salvation, the Bible clearly says you're not saved by your works. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The Bible says you're not saved by your works. But works are certainly an evidence of faith. So if I have faith, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that the Bible says, if I really have faith, faith brings actions. If somebody said, you know what, I'm on fire right now, and they didn't do anything, you'd say, I don't believe you believe you're on fire. But if they started rolling around and screaming, then their works would show that they had faith. They believe they're on fire. See, works, back up. And faith is something tangible. Faith is a substance. It's what's underneath. We've seen way too many people who say, I believe in Jesus, I believe this and that, then they go live like the world and the devil and are hypocrites, and their faith does not show in their actions. Faith is substance. To be faith, it must have two characteristics. First of all, it must not be seen. Okay, if I said, I have faith that Matthew is here today, well, I don't need faith. I can see him. There's no faith there. Faith is something not seen. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. People say, if God would just show me himself or show me this, then I believe. That's not faith anymore. You would know. See, faith is a belief in something you cannot see, but I'm going to rely on it anyway. You do that all the time. You just don't know it. There's many things we can't see. We don't see air. We don't see the signals that are coming to our television, but we turn on our TV and believe the signal is going to come. We believe in things we don't see all the time. I don't even understand how a CD works. I don't get all the little laser going around and I don't understand all that stuff. I think I understood a record player. You kids don't even know what that is. It was giant CDs, and we had diamonds in our things. I don't know. I don't understand how all those things work, but by faith, you put it in and it works. A lot of things we don't see. You don't see a credit card working when you run it through the thing, but it somehow gets all done. Faith is an evidence of things not seen. It's you're hoping for something you cannot see. You don't know. You haven't seen God. You haven't seen the answer ahead of time. Faith says, I'm going to obey because I believe in something even though I don't see it yet. I believe I'm going to heaven. I have faith I'm going to heaven, but I don't see myself in heaven yet. I still see myself here. First, it must not be seen. Secondly, to have faith, it must not be done yet. And that's important there because it says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. So I hope God supplies my needs, but I have $1 million in the bank. There's no faith involved there. I already have what I need, and that's good. Nothing wrong with that. I don't need faith at that time. But now God puts you in a situation where you need faith. Now you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. But some people, when they can't pay their bills, say, I believe God's going to provide my needs. Because I put God first, and he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have a faith in something I cannot see. And something that's hoped for, I believe it in the future. Many Christians struggle with the faith thing because they've got to see to have faith. You'll say, God's going to provide your needs. And you'll say, you don't understand. There is no way to provide my needs. I have nobody to send any money. I know how much my check's going to be. I know how much my bills are. Well, then you need faith. Amen. People almost want to have the answers in order to have faith. That's not faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's things you don't have yet. You don't know the answer to yet. But you believe enough to act on that. David believed God was going to kill Goliath. So he went in the valley. But he did not have proof he's going to kill Goliath. No one else had that faith to go into the valley and fight Goliath. Only David did. See, David had faith and things hoped for. But he did not know he's going to be able to kill Goliath. Goliath was still 9.5 feet tall. And was way more powerful than David. But David had the faith to take the action because there was something tangible, physical, something real there that made him take action. See, most people, can I tell you this? Most of the faith you're going to need in this life with our situation and what we deal with in America and in our generation is your faith is not having anxiety. Amen. You're not saying, oh no, I have faith that the lions aren't going to come. They're not going to kill me when they put me in the stadium because they're killing me as a Christian, and the lions are going to, I'm going to be fed the lions. I'm going to have faith the lions are not going to eat me. That's not the faith you need. Daniel needed that faith. We don't have that. Matter of fact, you'll have a hard time starving in America. You'll have a hard time. There's food banks everywhere. We have food bank. They're all over. You'll have a hard time, but you know what? You're worrying about it until it happens is what you'll have a problem with. Faith, you'll have more problem worrying about things, and you'll have more of a problem disobeying God because you don't believe he's going to come through for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But you might, God says, you put me first. You go to church, you do the things I want you to do, you tithe, you do all these things, and I'll take care of you. But you might not have enough faith to actually do those things. But if you don't do those things and don't say, I have faith, Because you don't. Because faith is a substance. It's what makes you do something. It's the real thing there. It's the tangible thing. We struggle because we never know the answer and result ahead of time. In the little passages we see here, Abel gives a sacrifice the way God wanted it. Enoch, by faith, believes God and walks with God, and so he's taken to heaven without dying. And then we see Noah. And it's interesting because it says, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Did you know in the Bible, before the flood, the world was differently made, and what happened every day is a dew came up from the ground and watered everything. It had never rained. And God told Noah, it's going to rain. A bunch of water is going to come out of the air, and the whole world's going to be flooded, and you need to go build a boat for it. Well, it wasn't anything they'd ever seen yet. And that's very hard for us to conceive the amount of faith Noah had, because it had never rained yet. Nobody knew what rain was. I mean, can you imagine if God told you something totally insane was going to happen and you had to prepare for it? What if God said, it is literally going to rain cats and dogs? Literally dogs and cats are going to fall out of the sky. And you got to go and prepare some kind of shelter that's going to save you from cats and dogs falling. Would you have the faith to go build that thing when somebody walks up and says, what are you doing? I'm building a shelter because it's going to rain cats and dogs. See, the faith is he built the ark when it had never rained before. What if all of a sudden God told you, it's going to rain fire, and you got to make an asbestos roof, and you got to make some roof that'll never burn, and you got to build your house that's fireproof, and you got to make your whole line fireproof, and you got to make it everything in your area fireproof, and you got to build a gigantic shelter for 1,000 people to come to save them all from the fire that's going to come down, and you go start building a fireproof building that they cannot burn down, and you go start building that thing, and you go to the contractor. I need to find the most fireproof material if I can get. Why? Because it's going to rain fire, and I need to prepare for it because I'm going to rescue a bunch of people. And you start building, and everyone walks up and says, what are you doing? I'm building a fireproof building because it's going to rain fire. When it starts raining, run to my building, and you'll be safe. Would you be able to handle the faith it takes to build that building? And the mockery? And Noah, God said, Noah, it's going to rain. Water's going to come down from heaven, and the whole world's going to flood. Everybody said, Noah, all it does is dew comes up every day. And Noah goes out and starts building his ark. You know it took him 100 years to build that ark? 100 years to build the ark. And they said, what is that big thing, Noah? He said, it's a boat. What's it for? Well, the whole world's going to flood and you're all going to drown if you don't get in the boat. It's going to save us. The whole world's going to flood? Yeah, it's going to be very, very deep. But faith was the action where he went and built the boat. By the way, they thought he was nuts. By the way, we're living for eternity, not this life. And we can't see it. If you really believe you're going to live forever in heaven and there is a God and we're going to stand in front of him and there really is a heaven and there really is a hell and there really is rewards for all that we do, your actions will follow that. You will begin to do things because faith is a tangible thing. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Notice Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So he took the actions. He began to do this thing. I was watching a NASCAR race one time many years ago, and one of the guys in the pit caught on fire. But that fuel they use is so hot, and it's such a type of fuel, you cannot see the flame. And the guy was on fire, and all of a sudden he started screaming and flapping and rolling around. And they have a guy with a fire extinguisher right there. Now, the guy with the fire extinguisher did not see the flame, but he saw the guy who carried the gas can screaming and slamming himself and rolling on the ground and started spraying him. And then he looked around and another guy started doing the same thing and he started spraying him. And he began to do it not because he could see the flame, but he believed that they're on fire because he could see the result of it. And so he sprayed those guys off and put them out because he, even though he couldn't see it, he believed enough to take the action to spray it. So do you believe enough to take the action that says, I believe God? So let's go back to anxiety. I'm single and I want to get married someday and I'm waiting for God to bring me that person. Okay? I trust God enough to not jump the gun and go date somebody I shouldn't. I trust God enough not to worry about it. Or I believe God's going to supply my needs. And boy, I got more month than I have money. Must be money in my checkbook. I still have checks, right? And I am in trouble. And the month is coming up and the new month and I don't got any money. Okay? Faith says, don't worry about anything. I'm not talking if you spent all your money foolishly. God gave you enough money, but you went and bought a big screen. That's not what I'm talking about there. That's what happens most of the time. Most of the time, God supplied your need, you just spend it on something else. But I'm talking you to say, you know what? Be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication, so you don't worry. Faith takes action. If you believe that God is going to be a church, and you believe that God commands you to go to church, and you believe there's an eternity, and you ought to obey God, you'll go to church. You won't say, oh, I believe in going to church, and I believe I should obey God and not forsake the center of ourselves together. But you don't go. I understand you have a medical emergency. I understand that. But you know what? Go to church tonight. So you believe that it matters. So you believe that you want to obey God. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. We usually, now, here's the key. We must trust the Lord enough to obey and follow, even when we do not see the result or the answer ahead of time. We must believe and trust the Lord enough and obey and follow even when we do not see the result or the answer ahead of time. We often fail to obey because we doubt his ability to reward. The Bible says, he that cometh to him must believe that he is. That's not our problem. Most of you believe in God. It's obvious just by creation out there and everything you see. There is a God. However, that's not the end of it. We believe there is a God. However, we do not always believe that he's going to reward us for following him. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 6. Ready? The first thing it says is without faith it is impossible. If you cannot have this tangible thing that makes you obey God, it will be impossible for you to obey him. It'll be impossible for you to make God happy. So we got to have faith, but this faith says I've got to obey when I cannot see the way. I've got to trust God and do what he says when I cannot see how it's going to work out. And he says, you must believe that he is. Okay, you believe in God, that's good. And you believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now here's the difference. David went into the valley to fight Goliath because he believed God would take care of it. I believe that if I serve God, God's going to bless me. So I obey God. If I didn't think God was going to work and do the things he said, and I didn't believe there was an eternity and didn't believe God was going to do what he said, I would not obey God. I'd be at home watching football right now. But when you believe that he's going to reward you, in other words, you don't think, I'm going to do this thing, but it's going to be a waste of my time, then you're not going to have any faith to do anything. You believe that he's going to reward you. You believe that obeying God is worthy of obeying, and he's going to bless you and work in your life and do the things you need. You believe that he is going to be a rewarder. It's getting hot in here, isn't it? Is it getting hot? It's warm in here. Good. Matthew, we've blocked that door open. It is warm in here.
We're talking about the word.
In Sunday school, we figured out the heating problem. We're just a little too warm now, so... But if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he's going to reward you, you will obey him. Some of you tithe today. You know why you tithe? It's not because you had nothing to do with that extra 10%. We have plenty to do with it. But you believe that if you gave, he says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing upon you.
Yes.
You believe he's a rewarder. And those who say, I know there's a God in heaven, but you know what? If I tithe, I couldn't pay my bills. You don't believe he's a rewarder. He says, I will reward you. Well, that's more of our failing thing, that if I do what God wants me to do, it's not going to turn out well. If I live for eternity and don't have fun right now, then I'm not going to have a good life. You know what? You don't believe in eternity that God really is going to bless you with streets of gold and a mansion. If you really believed, you would live for the next life. It's tangible. It's something that shows that. Do you believe that God's going to make you do something and then he's going to say, yeah, you obeyed me, now I'm going to make you miserable? I'm not going to give you any reward for that. No, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we fail because we doubt his ability to reward. We usually believe he is, but doubt that he, the rewarding for obeying in faith. And we don't trust him enough that he's going to take care of us and bless us. And we can trust him in faith with our lives. Listen, I believe that if God told me today, I want you to go be a missionary in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's a mess right now. It's in a lot of trouble, and it's a very dangerous country. But I would go to Zimbabwe. And I would go there believing that if God called me there, he's going to do something great. If I didn't believe God was going to do anything, now I don't know what great is. I might be a martyr there. People are starving in Zimbabwe right now. I don't know that. I don't know what the good thing is, but I do know God is a rewarder. And if all of a sudden I went there and my family and I were all killed in Zimbabwe, I believe God would reward that in such a greater way that it'd be worth it. And thank God I have a family who believes that and they trust God enough that they would go. And I want to say this, thank God that I've obeyed him with my life, because you know what? The devil, here's what happens. God says, go there. And always the devil says, there is misery and boring, terrible life. It's not fun. It's going to be a sacrifice. You won't be glad you did. You just need to do what you want to do. And that's rewarding. And the devil tells you at the start, God says, obey me. And when you go there, the faith says, okay, I'm going here. The reward is not till you get there. So faith believes that when you get there, the reward will be there. But the devil always says, right now is reward, and disobeying God is reward. And so when you do not obey God, you are fine for a moment, and you have more fun in the temporary, but the faith kept you from obeying him, and you never get to where his blessing is, where he rewards those that diligently seek him. But those who are willing to go over here in faith, God says, I have got something great for you here. But everybody wants to say, what is it? God says, over there, I got a pile of money. I'm watching you. And you say, okay, what's, oh, I see the money. I'll go there. There's no faith there. That's right. It's evidence of things not seen. God says, go there. And then God, he goes and he hides it. And you say, God, what's over there? Let me see it. Let me see the money. Let me see the reward. Let me see the blessing. God says, you just give me everything and see what happens. Follow me with your life. Do what I want you to do. And some say, I can't do it. It's not fun. I don't see any reward for it. It's not going to be good if I do that. It's not going to work out well. I'm not going to be as happy or have as much fun or anything else. You don't think about what God thinks. You don't think about eternity. You don't think about anything else. And you don't go there. Those who go there get there and say, Lord, I'm obeying you because you deserve it. And I just trust you. Whatever happens, happens. I know in heaven you'll reward me. And all of a sudden you get there. And there is the reward. But the reward is not sitting there for you to see it. And so when you give your life to God, I cannot tell you it's going to look better at the start. I cannot tell you that it's going to look like you're going to be more blessed, because the reward is at the end. And very few people trust God enough to go give their life to him or obey him or trust him or don't get worried or whatever. And they do not trust him enough to wait till the end. And so many times your faith gets tried. You know the biggest way your faith gets tried? The biggest way is you got to keep obeying when there's no blessing. And you cannot see the reward. And you say, I've been, and so many times when somebody starts growing, we have so many people say this, Pastor, I started serving God, I started doing this, and look at this, everything's going worse. And I say, keep on going. See what happens in the end. I know it might be a little worse right now, but God says, in the end, I reward those that diligently seek me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You might pray and you might pray and nothing might happen. But you keep on praying. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It takes diligence. Seeking after God. Seeking pleasing him. Going after him. Going all in the Christian life. 100% in and trusting God. If the most generous person, think of that for a sec. Who's the most generous person you know in your entire life? Just think of that. I mean, on this earth, who's a person? Who is, think of your mind, who is a person you know in your life who is the most gracious, most generous person? Think of that person for a sec. And imagine if all of a sudden that person said to you, if you will do this for me, I'm going to give you something incredible. They said, if you will, whatever, mow my lawn, or if you'll come over, I'm going to give you something you will really like. You would have no problem obeying and doing what they wanted to because you knew it would be worth it in the end, wouldn't you? That person who you think is the most generous person in the world, who had unlimited funds and unlimited abilities, what if Bill Gates says to you, if you will do this for, if you'll come up and you'll mow my lawn today, I'm going to give you something you will be really excited about. How many of you mowing his lawn? I'm going. But you know what? You got a God of heaven who says, if you'll follow me and do what I say, I will reward you. And I have infinite means. I have infinite amount of everything. And I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Do not worry about the reward right now. Just know who's rewarding.
Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Trust God. Those who obey him in faith find the reward at the end. It does not take perfect faith to please him and do great things. That's encouraging. You say, Pastor, that's great, but that's David. David has faith. I don't have that much faith. You know what's great in this list? The Hebrews 11 is a faith chapter, and it's we call it the Hall of Faith. And it gives a list of people who live by faith. But you know, in a second, it's going to go to someone whose faith wasn't very good and talk about how they were used when they doubted. By faith, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself. Now, it's interesting here. The word in there is very interesting because it doesn't just say Sarah. It says Sarah herself. In our English, the word herself there, it's very funny because the word herself is a very strong word in Hebrew. It's a very strong word that it's a surprise. In other words, didn't you say even Sarah, or Sarah, we would say even Sarah obeyed in faith. It says even Sarah herself. And the phrase in Hebrew actually comes to the word a backward wind. It's against her very nature. Even through faith, Sarah herself, even Sarah, through faith, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She was 90 years old, and her husband was 100, because she judged him faithful who promised. There's that faith in who he is. Sarah was told, you're going to have a child, and then nothing happened. And nothing happened, and nothing happened, and nothing happened. And you say, man, she must have been a woman of faith. No, she had terrible faith. Sarah went and finally said, we're never going to have a kid, Abraham. Here, take my handmaiden Hagar and have a child with her. Maybe that's what God means. That's a lack of faith. And a weird woman. And said, here, take Hagar. And so that was a lack of faith. And later an angel came, and she was getting much older now. An angel said to Abraham, right, and she was standing behind the tent door listening, and the angel said, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a baby. And you know what Sarah did? She laughed. And the angel said, don't laugh, Sarah. What are you laughing about? And she said, I didn't laugh. And she lied. And then it says, through faith, even Sarah brought forth. The one who didn't wait on God and had her husband go with another woman, and then a woman who laughed, and the angel said, it's still going to happen. Even she had enough faith. Can I tell you, say, man, I am a doubter. I just doubt that it's going to work out. I doubt God's going to bless. I doubt that if I gave my life to God to work out. Listen, you don't have to have perfect faith. I love it's Mark chapter 9, verse 27. A man who has a possessed child comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, do you believe that I can cast out that demon? And he says, yes, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I have some doubt here. Isn't it good news that you can have some lack of faith? You can be a little bit weak in your faith, and God says, I can still use your imperfect faith. Yeah. Even Sarah was able to do that. I was in a foreign field in another country, and I was talking with a family, the family that was there. And this missionary had another family with him that he'd met in Bible college, and this man with him believed that God had called him to be with this missionary for and stay with him. And so I was there for, I think I was there for 10 days in this country, overseas. And as we were talking, they kept on talking about the south of this country and what the south was like and how the people there are very open to the gospel, and they love the South, and the South is the best part of this country, and it was so great. And boy, the man, the assistant pastor who was with this missionary, he would just light up when he would talk, and they would translate for me because he didn't speak much English, and he would tell me how wonderful it was, this south part of the country, and how the people there were so open, and the door is so open, and everything was so amazing there. And so we were all there talking. The wife was cooking, the missionary's wife, and the other family was there, and all of us were there talking, and he was talking about the south again of that country. And I said, they were in the center part of the country. I said, you ever thought maybe God's called you to the south? And this guy's wife starts laughing in the other room. And I said, what's so funny? He says, I know I'm called there. I said, well, I said, why aren't you there? This guy's daughter, to give the whole story, his daughter was born with major heart problems. And his daughter, when she was born, her heart, it didn't have all the chambers. It was really bad. And immediately after she's born, they had to do major open heart surgery on her. And she quit breathing for about 10 minutes. So the daughter had brain damage, not severe brain damage. You could talk to her and she could talk with you and stuff. But she had seizures and her emotions sometimes in a loud room, and she'd kind of lose it and stuff. But she had to take certain medications to keep the seizures down and stuff like that. And there in the town they were in, they had a good hospital, and they had a good doctor there, and they had all the things they needed to take care of her, and they had a good a brain doctor and all the things they needed. And they're very comfortable there. And it wasn't too primitive where they were, but the South is pretty primitive. And he said to me, I want to go down there. He said, I'd love to. He says, I'm called there. I've been called there the whole time. He says, but I just cannot go down there. He says, I'm too worried about my family, and it's primitive down there, and our health, and I don't know if I can find a neurosurgeon down there, and I don't know if there's a neurologist down there, and it's hard to get medication, and it's hard to do the things. And he says, I just can't do it. I said to the assistant pastor, I said, ask him if he's willing to go. See, I'm willing to go. I asked his wife if she had come in. I said, are you afraid to go? She says, no, I'm ready to go anytime. Man, women are amazing sometimes. I'm ready to go anytime. She says, but you know what? We're here, and this is where he's willing to pastor here and at least come to this country. And you know what? We're having a good time here, and you know, but whenever he's ready, I'm ready to go. I said to him, man, I said, can I tell you something? I said, your family is safer in the will of God in the South than not will the will of God where you are now. I told a story, and by the way, I wasn't criticizing him. I understand his worry. I understood what he was worried about and everything, and I'm glad he was honest about it. That shows a lot of people aren't honest about that stuff. I told him a story about the president of our Bible college. His daughter went to New Guinea, way out in the jungles. They would literally go and move into a tribe who had no written language. They would go move with this tribe, and they'd go from one tribe to the next. They would live with them for about 2 years, learning the language, get the Bible in the language, win the tribe to Christ, and then they'd go to the next tribe. And it was way in the jungles where nobody spoke any known language. Every tribe had a different language. And it was so primitive and dangerous. They literally had caterpillars all over that if they bit you, they're poisonous, you die. And it was hot and primitive and dangerous there. And the wars in the tribes, they could get involved in that. And I remember the president of our Bible college saying, aren't you worried about your daughter? And he says, you know what? I feel my daughter safer in the will of God in the jungles of New Guinea than right down the street out of the will of God. And I told him that story, and I said, you know what? I said, the will of God, you need to trust that God can take care of you down there. I said, tell you what. I said, we will pay. I want you to do this for me. I said, we'll pay for it. I said, I want you two to take a bus ride down there, the assistant pastor and the pastor, the missionary. I said, I want you two to take a bus down there and just go look around and see. Now, I knew the Bible says, and seeing the multitudes are moved with compassion. I thought maybe when he saw the people there and saw the need, that he would say, you know what, I just have to go. And he'd obey God no matter what the situation was. Because if that's where God wanted them, then God would work it out. So we paid for the bus ticket, and as a church, while I was down there, I gave them the money. And as I was leaving to come back to America, they were leaving to go down to check out the South. And they went down there and took the bus down there. About 2 months later, he called me. And he said, guess where I am? I said, where? And he said, I'm in this city down in the southern part of the country. He said, you would not believe it. He said, I went down there, and he said, I went to the hospital there, and he said there was an American trained neurologist there who's incredible. And he said, you would never think in this area there'd be anybody with any skill. You'd think it'd just be butchers, doctors. I mean, he said, and this guy has helped us so much. He said, my daughter is better off here than she was where we were. And when you step back here and you say, God wants me to do this, and that part of the country was more primitive and was more dangerous, and wasn't, and in most cases it wasn't better care. And you stand back here and say, you know what, I've got my life, I got my things, I got things I got to do. And you say, that looks hard and I don't see any reward for it. God doesn't show you the reward for serving him ahead of time. Because it's not faith if you have the reward already picked out. What kind of faith did it say? God said, if you know what, if you serve with your life, in 1 year I'll give you $1 million and fulfill all your dreams. And then puts $1 million in your bank that you can get it. There's no faith there. But when you look forward and say, you know what, I got my life and my dreams and this and this and this and this and this. But you know what? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to get there. And when I get there, we'll just see what God does, because I trust God. I believe that he is, and you can never obey him without faith. You could never do that. You can never get where you need to go there, get there. You can never obey God. You can never really have the victory on your own. It all comes down to you believing God enough to obey him. And faith is that substance underneath of that. It is impossible to please him without faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? Because God's way never looks easier, and God's way demands that you trust him, that he will reward you in the future. And sometimes it's on earth, and sometimes it's in heaven. But you believe him enough that he's going to take care of it, that you're going to do what he says to your life. And by the way, when you jump all in with your life, if you read the quotes of the people who jumped all in, they said, I suffered the loss of all things, but I believe in heaven I'm going to get them back. I lost a lot of things, but I'm still serving God. Trust God enough to give him your life. Trust God enough to obey him when he tells you what to do, even if it doesn't seem like it's going to work out good for you. Trust God enough to go do the hard thing and live for God and obey him when there is no other way except for faith says to do it. I cannot always tell you how it's going to work out. I cannot always promise you it's going to have great things happen. I just know that those who stay on this path of obedience to God, when they get here, in the end, they always say, look what I found at the end of faith. I found great reward. But faith makes you walk that path that's hard. And when you do not see the way, that's what faith makes you do. And faith can give you great things. Now, many times, faith is simple as this. Faith believes God can do something. And you know what I find with people, very simply? I find people have great faith for other people, but not for themselves. Did you know, if I told you about someone in this room, about their relative who's not a Christian, who isn't saved, you know what you'd say? Hey, just keep on praying. God can reach them. But then if I brought up your relative, you know what you'd say? They're never going to get saved. You don't know my brother. Isn't that strange? God's big enough for their family to get reached, but not big enough for your family to change. God's big enough to supply my needs. You'll say, God's going to take care of you, Pastor. You were screaming, panicking a month ago about your problems. Faith says, God is big enough to take care of me. I'm going to believe God can change my family. I'm going to, by faith, pray a prayer of faith for my family. I'm going to believe God can go and bring revival to America. Well, I don't believe it can happen in America. It's just so gone. Well, your God's awfully small. The badness of America is bigger than your God's strength. I believe you can have revival in America. I believe your family can get saved. I believe you can have holiness and overcome your sin in your life. You got to believe God. Faith takes the action. It says, I believe him enough to do these actions. And do you believe God enough to take the actions and trust him that he will reward the faith in the end? Because you got a really big God.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
You got a really big God.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you do not have this faith and you do not believe God, you will never please him. It is impossible. Impossible without faith to please God. It's time to believe God for miracles. It's time to trust God, to not worry. It's time to believe God, to obey Him. It's time to believe God is good enough to give Him your whole entire life. Believe God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you do that, even Sarah can have great faith to do great things, even though she didn't have perfect faith. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for this simple passage. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it's impossible to please you. For he that cometh to you must believe that you are, and that you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. I pray today we would trust and believe and have something real behind our faith. Thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us this. And help us. Maybe we're like Sarah and we have some weak faith that doubts sometimes, but I pray today we'd get some real faith that moves mountains. Lord, we'll never please you unless we get this faith. Help us to please you and believe you. In Jesus' name.